Blog Talk Radio. Monday, February 23rd, 2015, and this is Foxology Today. Welcome and happy Monday to you. I hope the week ahead is amazing for you, and certainly hoping that this week has gotten off to a wonderful start. You know, last week I mentioned that I think hope itself is such an important thing. Hope, hope, hope. It's a word filled with the idea of possibility, the possibility of progress, productivity, and powerful outcomes for so many areas of life, even in our most difficult of challenges. Organizations like the one we'll be talking about today are born out of challenge to bring help and hope to those who need this all-important support. Last month, I spoke with Mr. Dennis Jones, Executive Director of Metro New York Chapter of COPS, C-O-P-S, the acronym for Concerns of Police Survivors. Today, members of that organization are my special guests. Mrs. Leslyn Stewart, the chapter president, whose husband, Detective Dylan Stewart, was killed in the line of duty in 2005. And Ms. Jackie Hodge, whose son, Detective Sean Carrington, was also fatally wounded in 1998 during a drug bust. And Ms. Bob Bauer, licensed social worker and retired Nassau County police officer, who provides support services for the organization. Thank you all for being on the show with me today.
Thank you for having us.
We are so happy to have you. Listen, I do hear a little feedback. Somebody's got either their computer on or something. You'll have to turn that off. Because it gives a feedback. Whoever has their computer on that's giving feedback, I'm going to have to ask you to turn it off. Yes, so far. Yeah, very good, very good. Oh, I still hear it. You'll have to turn it all the way off. But anyway, I want to go ahead and jump right into the conversation because we have 30 minutes to get people in the know, up to speed about what your organization is doing. And also, I see some calls that have already come on the board. But I want to start with you, Mrs. Stewart. You are the president of the New York chapter and, of course, a survivor as well. So why don't you get us started on the conversation? Tell us about your story, and when you launched the chapter.
good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name's Leslyn Stewart. I became a police survivor November 28th, 2005, when my husband, Detective Dylan Stewart, was killed in the line of duty. At that time, I had a 6-year-old and a 4-month-old, both girls. And it just completely shattered my life. That next year in 2006, I attended a a conference of sorts in Washington, D.C. They have a candlelight vigil every year. It's called National Police Week, where they memorialize your officer. And it is at that conference that I met just a host of survivors nationally that attended, and I was able to just align myself with people that understood, the people who had gone through it and who were going through the same thing that I was experiencing, and to be able to connect with those people, I think, definitely helped me just kind of see forward a bit, and it gave me hope from those who had gone through it, and I could certainly share my story, and they shared with me. And for those who were on the same pace as myself, we could definitely connect and share in that way. So that was my first connection with this great organization, Concerns of Police Survivors, and beginning to rebuild my shattered life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly admire your courage and your resiliency. In 2012, you launched the chapter. Who else was helping you with that process at that time? I know that Mr. Jones is playing a very high-profile role in all of this. Was he in the organization with you at the time?
Yes, absolutely. We started off with this organization. What we learned is that there are so many people that are directly and indirectly affected by a law enforcement officer's death. They are siblings, children, you know, coworkers, all the lines. And so that's, I think, the diversity of our group is that we have parents, in-laws, siblings on our board, and one of which is a coworker, Dennis Jones, and he's certainly been a great resource for us. We have a vice president who is a Suffolk spouse, and we have other line of we have on the phone now Jackie Hodge and Shirley, someone who's been a great resource and has been with the organization for a long time, Bob Bauer.
Yes, yes, and I am going to ask both of them to say something before I take the callers. Callers, please just stand by, and I'll be with you very shortly. Mrs. Hodge, I know that you also have suffered this unfortunate tragedy as well. Would you go ahead and take a few moments to share your story, too?
I lost my son, my only son, January 19, 1998. He was a detective. His name is Detective Sean Carrington, and a bad drug bust. That's when my life stopped. Like my world came to an end. Then I went to many group meetings and stuff, but today it still feels just like yesterday. Sometimes, you know, I wonder how I picked up the pieces, but because of Metro and other groups, I was able to pull it together and just try to move on. At the time, my mm-hmm. granddaughter was only 18 months at the time, and I really was really concerned about her, that she would never know her father. But it's a long, difficult road.
It definitely is. Mr. Bauer, I'd like you to respond particularly to what both of these ladies have shared. It's the fear, I'm sure, of every family that has an officer in it. It's not something I'm sure you think about from day to day, but you know that potential and risk comes with the job, of course. Can you tell us how your support services division steps in as a first response when these incidences occur? How do you respond when you know everything that they've come to know and grow into has just been shattered to pieces? What do you do at that point?
Well, being with the organization all those years, I've learned they taught us, you know, what these families need. The families teach us. And as you hear Leslin and Jackie talk, their lives are shattered. And this organization has support services, peer people, and like myself, my wife, who are mental health also, we acknowledge what these issues are, and we try to get right involved with the families as a chapter, okay, the local chapters, try to get involved with the family right from the notification of the death. They will reach out maybe to the department and make contact with that family. Nothing too involved, but just to let them know, they meet them and let them know, because they've been through it. They know. They know what it's like. And they will just meet them and tell them who they are, and hopefully that they will again within the next couple of weeks, you know, meet with them again and hopefully share with them their stories and give them that hope, you know, that they, yes, there is life after it, and help them through the whole process down in D.C., and then all the other programs that the national has and your local chapter has, that we will be there forever. This organization will be there 365 days a week for the organization, for these families.
Yes, yes, and it's certainly, I know, has proven to be a very important and vital service. I'm going to take these callers now, and I'm sure, of course, these calls are for you. So let's take our first caller in 912. Caller, do you have a question for the guest? Okay, I think they just want to listen. Caller 718, do you have a question? Let's check out one more. I think they're just wanting to listen. Okay, let's check out. Caller 646, are you just listening or do you have a question?
Hello?
Yes, this is caller in 646.
Oh,
hi,
yes.
Do you have a question for?
Actually, I'm the grandbaby of Miss Jackie Hodge, but I was just listening.
Yes. Okay. Did you have anything you'd like to contribute to the conversation? How are things going for you? How has the organization been helpful to you?
Very helpful, but I'm just close to my family, so they just help me out. And if I have any questions about my dad, I just go straight to them, and that's about it. They help me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like my grandma said, I was 10 months, so I didn't know that much about my dad, and I just learned through them.
Well, that's really wonderful, and it's good to know, I'm sure, that they're there for you anytime that you need them.
Yeah, always. I stand. Love you, Grandma.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
I want to go back to you, Mr. Bauer, before I talk to the ladies again. I know that there are various components of support services that are being offered. For instance, like Mrs. Hodges' granddaughter there, it would be something different for sure for someone her age or for other adult members of the family. What are some of the services that are offered through your area?
Again, we follow the national COPS, their programs, and they have a variety of retreats, where we put similar losses, like your parents, your in-laws, as Leslin has said, extended fiancés, significant others, and we group them together throughout the year, and they get together for a weekend. And we also separate the accidental from the felonious, so they have something in common, and they share their stories. And it brings the healing. We always, over the years, in grief and bereavement, we know that putting people together in grief is healing. It's a healing process. So that's
mm-hmm.
very important. The national, of course, they have other programs that we do. We have the counseling support. We go to the trials. We go to the trials for that day. Of course, the funerals would be supportive in that way. The scholarships, there's all kinds of other programs that the national has that we will incorporate into the chapter, plus some of the additional ones, which, as Leslin and Dennis has done, was significant to our area, where they bring new kinds of support that we have, you know, not only finances, emotional, but some other good programs that they have instituted.
Yes, that sounds wonderful. Mrs. Stewart, I want to ask you first, how has this involvement helped with your own personal grieving process? I know that grieving is certainly something that is very different for every individual. But can you tell us, because, you know, as people reach out, and everybody, again, has a different way they deal with things, some spiritually, some do well, some don't. How has it helped you? And how do you feel it really does what it does to help others? How has it helped your grieving process?
Well, I'll say that at first I was definitely stricken by just the overwhelming outturn of things. But once I was able to, I wouldn't even say pull myself together, but once I was able to connect with just a group of survivors and surviving spouses who understood where I was, I felt like I had to take care of myself first. And once I did that, I sort of turned it outward and wanted to give back, because along the way were other survivors coming along. So I certainly wanted to reach back in and help others and connect in that way. And I look at it in a way, and I share with us, you know, others all the time, that sometimes someone with a prosthetic leg understands another person with a prosthetic leg just so much more than the doctors explaining, you know, how they should do things. Someone with a prosthetic leg can certainly say how long it would take to put that leg on, or how bad the phantom pain is and what that experience feels like. So connecting with other survivors, whether it be a parent, in-law, you know, coworkers, sharing with your peers, I think that is just so much more helpful than someone from the outside. Like Bob says, we help them understand where we are, and then they can therefore come in and help us out. So once I was able to help myself out, I was then able to reach out and help other survivors who came along after me and just share that I understood where they were. You know, sometimes people say that they understand, but they don't necessarily really understand. And I could definitely say that I understood where they were and help out just like someone else had helped me out. I would definitely say that starting the chapter was a positive way for me to, you know, render that help and to be able to just see people make progress. You know, I don't know. It's just more of a direct way to see someone when you're saddened and then come out of that and just see them take positive steps towards hope, like you're saying, and just see that light of hope and that beam, you know, just shine through. It's just definitely a wonderful thing to see.
That has to be the most rewarding
it definitely is.
That you do.
It really is. Because when you come from a place, I remember at a point where I wouldn't smile. It was just hard for me to smile. It was hard for me to speak my husband's name. And for me to stand before new recruits and speak his name with pride, knowing that he, you know, made the ultimate sacrifice and he didn't quit. You know, that was something that was big for him, that he didn't quit. And just continuing on, like Jackie said, just continuing on with raising my girls and, you know, just giving them positive outlook and having a legacy for their dad and continuing on and just showing that continuity of life, I think, is just a great thing for them to be able to see.
Absolutely. Mrs. Hodge, you said something earlier. You said that this cuts as deep as it did the day that it happened. So I want you also to tell me, I can certainly understand that, but certainly based on what Mrs. Stewart has just said, the organization has to have been very instrumental in providing you love and support and just the security of knowing that you have people around you who have experienced the same thing. Has it helped in a great way with the grief process for you? Do I still have Mrs. Hodge?
Maybe she dropped off.
I still see her on the board. I don't know that I did lose her. But anyway, if we can get her back in, I'll ask her the question. But I do have a few other things that I'd like to ask you about. I know that the organization also offers some training programs. Can you speak to that? What kind of training do you provide for families and for recruits?
You can take
Mrs.
that, Bob.
Okay, the programs that, of course, it's when you're in at these retreats, and of course, we're in D.C., we provide the group sessions for the bereavement sessions, and of course, education on all different kinds of variety of topics on death, the recovery, the reconciliation of the loss, and moving on with your life. There's all kinds of education going on as far as that goes. We educate. We also educate on a national level and a chapter level. The idea, we want to educate to the 8 police agencies. We try to give them the history of all these families and what, you know, how to treat the family when there's a line of duty death. Hopefully get to the offices, as Lesnar mentioned, in the recruits. It's very important. They may not want to talk about it, but we try to get them to have everything in order. You know, what do they want if they are killed in the line of duty? These things are very important because they can complicate the grief later on if all this stuff is not done and the officer really doesn't say what he wants. So it's very important. We also hopefully show them the idea of safety. You know, how to, you know, take care of themselves. You know, so that kind of programs is where we may be involved with the you know, the agencies and education and awareness of who we are, what we do, and how we may be able to complement and help each other in a line of duty.
Have either of you determined that you recognize that? Of course, it sounds like you've got every base covered, and it's a very thorough approach and program to helping people when this crisis does occur. Are there any innovations that are before you that or growth potential that you're looking at that is also going to provide some additional services and support for the organization?
Leslie, you on?
Bob?
Yeah.
Jackie here.
Oh, Jackie's back. Oh, okay. Leslie, are you still on?
I don't know what's wrong with the phone.
We lost Leslie?
Yeah.
Mrs. Stewart, are you there? Mrs. Stewart, are you there? Well, you can answer that for us, Mr. Bauer.
Okay, as far as the future, what we see, of course, through... You know, we look for fundraising because, you know, we don't go out and receive monies. So, you know, we're a charitable organization. So our biggest thing is to get the funding. You know, we do fundraisers so we can provide those services for the families.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to National Police Week so that the financial burden is that much for them. To get them to all these retreats so they can be with others. You know, throughout the year. Of course, as this organization, and I do believe the New York, Metro New York chapter will be a very big chapter, and we have a lot of hope and a lot of dreams and goals of certain kind of programs, but we're sort of around it in a sense that we, you got to realize when a line of duty death happens, within a short month, the agency has to go back to doing their work. It is a police department. They got to run like a business. They got to go back out there. So this is where we can come in and complement them to provide those the emotional support, maybe the counseling for the children and other family members, and hook them up with, if there's finances, of course, help them get through the state and through the federal government the monies and stuff that, you know, line of duty death brings about. You know, so we... Yeah, we dream high as far as where we can go and what kind of services we will like to provide for these families.
Well, you're doing an outstanding job. I think that we have Mrs. Hodge back on the line, and we have about 5 minutes left. I don't know where we're on the board. I could still see you, but I couldn't hear you.
Can you hear me?
I wanted to ask you. I can hear you loud and clear. I wanted to ask you, we were talking about the grieving process. Mr. Bauer and Ms. Stewart had both.
Hello? Hello?
That's you, Jack?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can, but I think we lost the host.
Oh, okay.
Hold on, and hopefully she'll come back on. You and I are still hooked up, so we'll stay. Hopefully she'll...
I'm here.
Okay. Yes, what I tend to do...
No, this is Leslin.
Oh. It's us. All three are here except the host.
Oh, okay.
Now we can.
Okay, hello?
This is Naya.
You ain't supposed to be on this channel.
She was. You didn't hear
we might. We might still be on the radio, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Maybe we should just try calling back in.
Right. Okay, we can do that.
Okay, we're going to hang up, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're going to hang up and call back in. Okay.
Well, I am back on the air, and I think who is it that I still have with me right now? Hello?
Hello? Yes, this is Bob Bauer.
Is everybody still with me? Yeah, I am so sorry. I don't know how that hasn't happened ever. But anyway, we only have a couple of minutes left on the show. We have about 2.5 minutes. So, Mrs. Hodge, if you would go ahead and just speak to the question of how you're handling your grief at this point, how the organization is helping you.
It gives me an opportunity to give back. And since my son got killed in 1998, and when you go through this, you feel like you're not going to have tomorrow. So, you know, I just hope when they look at me and I say 1998, that they'll know they will survive the next day and the day after, because at that time you just don't, you know, just unsure everything, you know, how you're going to live through this. And I just hope I give people that little ray of hope that there is a tomorrow, you know, because losing someone violently and so quickly, you know, it's just your whole world just turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, my I'm begging your pardon?
You were saying for you?
It was devastating. My whole world just turned upside down. That was my only child, and I just didn't understand how I was going to make it tomorrow and the next day and the week after without him, because that was my life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Well, I commend all of you for the extra special work you're doing, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be on to share with us. Your organization is absolutely amazing, and you are amazing people. If anyone is interested, you can look up this organization online at metronycops.org. They're doing great things, and they're doing it throughout the United States, so it's phenomenal opportunity. Yes, and you have just a few seconds, so go right ahead.
We are having, I know Bob talked about financial things, we are having an event at Mulcahy's of Wantagh on April 16th, and those who would love to come out and support, we would, you know, certainly appreciate that. It's from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Wonderful. We have 10 seconds. So if you need additional information, please check the website. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.